Remember days we was down bad. Remember days we was down bad. I remember we was down bad.
What's up, everybody? Thank y'all for tuning in to the Being Technical podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Aaron Bien, where I'm being technical and not practical. However you all consume your podcast, appreciate y'all for tuning in. Once again, this podcast is available on all major platforms, Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts. You can even stream us straight from the Anchor app. I got a special guest. We're going to do something a little different today, get a little blend, a hybrid of sports, but also talk to another fellow brother of mine. I got here my brother, Bakar. What's going on, Bakar?
I'm doing well, brother. How you doing?
Man, can't complain, man. I'm blessed. Everything good with you on your end?
Yes, sir. Staying positive. Amen.
Hey, man, that's what's up. But we're going to dive in because obviously my brother Bakar here covers a sport that I don't really talk about or even really address. Soccer, or what the real fans like to call it, football, even though I'm a fan of the other football, but we'll cross interject there. Tell us a little bit about the, I see you got your own Raw Football Talk.
Yes, sir.
Dive in. Do people ever, like, when they see your podcast, they think you're actually talking about NFL football?
You know what? It happens a lot. And it's a funny story behind it. When we first started off, we started off back in 2018, just like, you know, getting the idea together. And it was actually called Raw Soccer Talk. Like
Soccer.
The way Africans, Caribbeans, South Africans say it. So we decided to, you know, call it that. But then I started posting my content on Reddit. And there was this dude from England. He was like, you know what, man? I like your content, but if you change it to Raw Football Talk, I'm going to get a whole bunch of my boys and we're going to subscribe. So you should change that. So I say, you know what? Let's give the people what they want to see.
But like, you do it like OOT or like FUT ball? Like you try to do the...
Yeah, I thought about that. But you know what? Listen, man, if you go all around the world and you say football, they know you're talking about soccer. So I just decided to call it Raw Football Talk.
Except the ignorant people here in America, they probably think you're going to dive in about the NFL or college football. And they're like, wait, hold on. did you play soccer or football as a kid?
Yeah, I did. I played travel ball and I played in high school. And it was a fun time, man. I met a lot of people from, you know, different places around the world. And I got to, you know, just, you know, find out who I am, like on a personal level. You know, I found out my strengths, my weaknesses, and it's a huge part of my identity. You know, we come from Eritrea, and soccer, cycling, track and field, or not track and field, but like marathon running and long distance running is big in our country. So, the soccer bug hit me when I was 3 years old, and I've been playing it ever since.
Okay, because it was so random that, because in high school, obviously, I'm not good at soccer. I was more of a basketball, football player. And I remember actually in high school, like I wasn't like fast. I wasn't like a long distance runner, but I had a track coach come up to me like, you ever, you run track? I'm like, nah. Did you ever think of running track? I'm like, what you mean track? Like he thought I was like a, like I was like, cause he saw an East African, he thought I could do the long distance and help them win. I'm like, nah, you picked the wrong one. But yeah, I mean, that's crazy. Like, cause my high school was actually when I was there, where was the 24th or something like that ranked soccer team in the country, high school soccer team. And only had one African kid on the team. So it was like, they were actually good. But I see you do the podcast. Like, what got you into sports? Like, working into sports? Like, you say you wanted that to be like your career. Is that your career path, a passion, or is that like something you just do for fun?
Yeah, you know what? It's like, it's a passion that eventually turned to like, wow, I could actually do this as a career. I want to shout out my cousin Eden real quick, because she's my mentor. She's my inspiration. She's helped me out a lot over the years. She was at ESPN for about a decade or so. And I remember one time, big time. She's doing her thing. But yeah, one time I went to like a Thanksgiving get together, you know, and she just walked up to me. And she was like, hey, like, tell me your goals, Tim. Like, what do you want to do? And I told her, man, you know, at the time I wasn't 100% sure. I was just coming out of high school trying to figure things out. And then I'm like, I don't know, man. I like soccer a lot. So maybe I can, you know, be like a sports journalist or something like that. And she tells me, she's like, you know what I do? And I'm like, no, like, what do you do? And she's like, I work in sports. And then as soon as she said that, like, she's like, I work at ESPN. And as soon as she said that, I'm like, bro, it's like a light bulb went over, you know, her head.
Like ESPN in Connecticut?
Yeah, yeah.
So like the main ESPN.
Mm-hmm. She did like event marketing, you know, work gears towards that field. And yeah, she pushed me. She was like, you know what, man? Like, stop just watching soccer or indulging in soccer. Like, start actually writing about it. Start being like proactive and keeping up with it. And you never know, man, opportunities are out there. And if you work hard, like, I can, you know, get you in the door. And I'm like, okay, at first I'm like, I was a bit naive. I'm like, yo, this is too good to be true. But then like right before I left, I remember, I'll never forget this. Right before my left, she literally grabbed my hand or grabbed my shoulder. She was like, hey, I gave you some homework. Make sure, you know, you follow up. And I'm like, whoa, like, she's being serious about this. And I'm like, okay. And so she just told me, like, you know, any like sportscasters, anybody that you look up to, like, see what they did, see what they were doing in college, and then try to, you know, not necessarily like just follow everything they do, but, you know, study their work. That way, when it comes time, like for an internship or an opportunity, you'd be prepared. And so, yeah, ever since then, I've gotten opportunities, you know, to call games for my school, start a podcast, obviously, and then do writing gigs and things of that nature. And yeah, man, she's definitely been a blessing, a huge help.
Oh, that's what, so she's okay. That's what's up. Well, big shout out to cousin Aiden for putting you on. Like I said, like, I mean, I had kind of the same similar path, but I didn't know anybody that was like connected like that. It was just like something that was always a passion of mine, because like I knew I would never be a professional athlete. So like, like, you know, I'm very I'm sure you know I'm a very opinionated person. So like, that was always something I wanted to do. There was like a bunch of assets that I looked up to Stuart Scott. So I wanted to be like the next Stuart Scott, or I wanted to be like an analyst like that. So like, then I was like, as I went to school, I kind of steered away from it, and I'm starting to come back full circle, but like, that was something I always wanted to do. What did you study? Were you a journalist major?
Yeah. I went to George Mason as a transfer from community college, and they unfortunately don't have like a school of journalism. They just mm-hmm. have like a department of communication. So, I mean, I decided to give a shot. And so I majored in communication. I recently graduated, you know, class of 2020. Shout out Zoom University.
Big shout out to Zoom University.
So I decided to take that route, and my minor was in sport communication, which was more closely aligned towards what I wanted to do. And I would say I spent a lot of time like enjoying myself in my minor, which, you know, minor is kind of like your plan B, but in the sense for me, I'm like, every time if I had like a class for my minor, whether it was like sport communication, sports media, anything of that sort, bro, I loved it. Like every single second I tried to like absorb as much knowledge as possible, you know, meet new people, like whether speakers, professors, whatever. I was always proactive because like I knew it's different learning about, I don't know, like history when you're taking like a random lecture, as opposed to when you're like sitting in sport communication, you're learning about what people at ESPN do, what people at CBS, you know, all these personalities, what they do, and really like knowing that field. Yeah.
Okay, that sucks. I studied sport management and I minored in communication. So like we kind of had like, because I went to the University of Minnesota, I actually graduated back in 2014. We were actually one of a few top schools in America with sport management program, because like Minnesota, you would never think we have a major professional sports team in every sport, like football, basketball, baseball. We got a hockey team, and we just got a professional soccer team.
Yes, sir.
I think they're Minnesota United.
Yes,
so like we have like a sports team. So like you could literally work for any one of those sports team and kind of get your foot in the door. But like, no, like I didn't ever want to like work for, like if it wasn't like I wanted to work for the Vikings. I don't know if you know, I'm sure you follow the NFL, but that was the team I wanted to work for to starting off. But then as like that didn't work, I kind of steered away from working for like the teams. So, but explain your first gig. What was your first gig? Like what was your first like role when you, your job, like as you were going to school and once you graduated?
All right, so my first sports gig in school was doing sports announcing for George Mason. So they had like an opening, and I actually got into it a little bit late. I remember like my first couple of jobs, like straight out of high school, just, you know, like working at Costco, working at Chipotle, just, you know, trying to save up money and stuff. But you know what? I made a decision. I'm like, you know what? I got 1 year left and my portfolio is not looking so good. I just have, you know, a couple of writing and all that good stuff. So I'm actually, you know, investing myself. So I went for this opening to start calling soccer games for the fall. Okay. And I got an opportunity to work as a sports announcer, and also like not only like calling games, but also you get to be on the sideline, you know, reporting before a game, before you go live and stuff. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, one thing I would say about that is I was at a crossroads in terms of like my career choice and how things were going. I spent 2 years at Costco, you know, just working, doing retail, and I loved every single minute of it, but I knew I didn't belong there. You know what I mean? It's like, you love the people, you love the work, but something inside you was still missing. So like I said, I decided to invest in myself and I took that opportunity. Thankfully, you know, truly grateful to God because I got that chance. I got a chance to be an ESPN Plus, you know, showcase there.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, it's like achieving a lifelong dream. And when it happens, it's like, it feels so surreal. And so I did that for like a semester. And then after that, I moved on to work for Verizon Media doing like live event operations and stuff like that. Unfortunately, because of the pandemic, you know, things didn't work out the way I wanted to. But after that, I did like sports anchoring. I kept doing my podcast, kept writing, and just kept working and networking at the same time. And so, yeah. And now we're in this position. I'm talking to you and I feel grateful. And so,
yeah. I do admire the ambition, brother. But I obviously made a previous episode on, unpaid internships. Right. Have you done any unpaid internships? I know this career path, there's a lot of the opportunities, quote unquote, in which they try to steer you with this whole unpaid internship. Do you have any experience with unpaid internships and like kind of go in depth of what your like perception of them were, like perception of doing unpaid internships?
I do. I think the first gig I had out of high school was just working for like this I want to say startup, but just like a new website, just trying to get writers like in the door and give them like some practical like experience and stuff. And so since it was my first, I didn't mind it. And then mind you, this was, I want to say 2017, like around this time, so 4 years ago. It was a great experience. And at first, like I said, I didn't mind it because I'm trying to get my foot in the door, and plus I have a full-time job, so it's not much of a hassle. Yeah. But as things kept progressing, I tried to find opportunities like in school, and most of them were, like you said, either unpaid or volunteer, which is essentially the same thing. So it's either an unpaid internship or volunteering. And like I said, I still had, you know, my job, my full-time job that I liked, so I didn't mind it as much. But at the same time, when I really thought about it, I'm like, yo, I'm forking out $4,000 a semester out of my pocket, the money that I'm working hard for at my other job. And in order for me to get my foot in the door, I have to take these, you know, unpaid internships, which really didn't make sense. Because if you think about it, like I said, you're paying like all this amount of money for these classes that don't get you as much. Like these unpaid internships get you in the door, yet you don't get paid for it. So why are
quote unquote in the door? That's the narrative that they push, right?
Exactly.
And like me, like coming, like I did two unpaid internships because, you know, or they were for college credits, but the whole narrative is how it's not fair to individuals like yourself that also have to work and go to class, work full-time jobs, then have enough energy to do these unpaid internships. I think they're somewhat unethical, in my opinion. I just think those unpaid internships are more of a, people of privilege have a bet, you know, they can do those because they don't have to worry about what they got to eat. You know, their schools are paid for. So a lot of the times when you see these marquee names that are in the sports industry and they defend, you know, unpaid internships, they came from a place of privilege. Their parents were wealthy. Their parents had connection. They just had to do them to get by, as opposed to a lot of other individuals can't can't afford to dedicate 20 hours of their time a week to do that. And I mean, I was able to do that because I knew, you know, at the time I was living at home, I didn't have to worry about, you know, working. I had a part-time job on the weekends, but, you know, I wasn't, stressed. So that kind of gives me a slight advantage, which I think is not fair, because I think we've gotten to a point in time where they can pay, whether it's whatever, you can pay people for their time. Like, don't try to mask it as this opportunity at the door when you're just, you know, exploiting free labor, in my opinion. That's my personal opinion on the matter. But because if you do them for college credits, you're basically paying to work then, because exactly. You're paying to go to class. You know, you're paying exactly. for those credits.
Yeah, listen, I'm on the same boat as you, 100%. Like I said, you're paying for these classes, right? And that's what you go to school for. You go to college, you know, to, you know, get yourself, you know, opportunities that you might not find somewhere else. And so if you're paying all this money, and especially for, like you said, I'm in the same situation as you, you know, living with my parents and really having to support not only myself, but my family at the same time. Yeah. And so if I'm dedicating so much time, so much effort into these classes, and they're not doing what they're advertised as, so it's like, what am I paying all this money for?
Like, what am I paying? You know, obviously I was privileged enough where I didn't have to support. My parents were good. They were good. So I was able to dedicate my time, and I, you know, so like, I just think a lot of people are in that situation. I think these were at a point in time where they can at least offer pay. Like, you know, you don't have to get so offended if people don't want to, you know, devote their little bit of time they have to work for free for a soda. You know, I just think that old school mentality of us, oh, grind and you got to do whatever it takes to make it to the top, I think that sends a wrong message for the new generation, because things are only getting more expensive. Exactly. You know, college tuition is only going up. So it's like, now you want me to work for free, and then I got to, you know, do whatever else I got to do. So that was just my opinion. I just thought, you know, a brother like you that went through the process of trying to, you know, get your degree and work in sports, if you had any experience with unpaid internships. So dive in a little bit more on like the soccer. Like, do you have a specific team you like to cover, a specific league? Because I know soccer's got like a million, like 1,000 other leagues out there. Like, do you just cover more so the Barclays, like the more popular ones?
Yeah, 100%, bro. I stick with mostly with Premier League or Champions League, but most of the time it's Premier League. Mm-hmm. And what I try to do is I try to cover my team, my favorite team, which is Manchester United. But it's, I would say it's a beat that a lot of people cover. So I try to be creative with mine. And so sometimes I'll find myself covering the whole Premier League beat as opposed to just strictly Manchester United.
Yeah.
And with my content, or what I like to do is I try to make it fun, you know, because one thing I realized is like, I'm 23 years old. So my generation and the generation younger than me, we don't read.
Definitely. We do quick not reading, read. You know, quick, simplistic reading. Where you're just reading a quick little article on an app and that's it, or a tweet or whatever. Like,
exactly. And so what I try to do is like, you know, if I don't grab your attention within the first, I would say 10 seconds, then there's no point of me putting out a piece. I failed. And so I try to have that same perspective, just trying to make it fun, not use like too many of, you know, like journalistic, you know, jargon and all that stuff and bore you. Like, I want you to engage in my content. I want you to read it. And I add videos, I add memes, you know. I think I've added some with GIFs, but I try to stay away from that. But like I said, man, just understanding your audience is key. That should be your main goal. And so, yeah, with my content, I try to cover Premier League or Champions League events, and I try to make it fun. So not only do you read the first line, but you go all the way down and you enjoy your experience, you know?
Because, you know, I mean, I know of these teams, like, you know, I play FIFA, so I'm familiar with these, you know, Premier League teams, but like, you know, I'm not like, I don't follow them in depth just because obviously I like, you know, I there's a lot of people on my Twitter, like obviously with, you know, us being African, we have, you know, friends that follow the Premier League or La Liga, and La Liga's out there. But I, like I said, you know, so I'm not like, I've never sat and watched a whole soccer game unless it's the World Cup. So like kind of hearing more like in depth of someone break down soccer is very intriguing to me. So is Manchester United any good this year? I mean, the last time I followed them, they had like Rain Rooney. I'm a little bit older than you. You know, I remember Cristiano Ronaldo played for them at one time, but like, I didn't really follow them. Like, Are they good? Any good this year? Do they have any potential? Yeah. I'm a guy that likes. I like to cheer for a winner. Obviously, my team's not a winner, so I know a lot about heartbreak. So you tell me, is Manchester United any good?
Listen, man, you brought up a good point. You support the Vikings, right? So
I support, and they let me down a lot.
Exactly. And so if you ask me if Manchester United are good, I will tell you this. They're not the same Manchester United with Rooney, with Ronaldo, with Tevez from 10 years back. They're not. And I often get into like these heated discussions with my older brother because he's a Chelsea supporter. And so whenever like things are going rough with United,
you that's know, another team. Everyone, like, I feel like all the East Africans love Chelsea. Chelsea, it's like, what's so intriguing? I knew they had Drogba, but like, what's so intriguing about them that everyone likes?
One thing about Chelsea is, like you mentioned, they have a lot of African players, man. You know, they had the Drogba, the Essien, yeah. And you know, nowadays they have. We're talking about Manchester United, so let's dive back.
Yeah, well, I want to dive into your team. I know they're not teams you like. Obviously, you guys don't like each other, right?
No. We get into so many heated discussions, arguments, all that good stuff. All in fun, you know. But yeah, speaking of Manchester United, man, it hasn't been rosy since the great Sir Alex Ferguson retired back in 2013. That was the last time we won a Premier League trophy, and ever since then, it's just been it's been up and down, and it's just management is terrible. The board is terrible. The players, they get, you know, they're worth a lot of money, but they don't, you know, live up to expectations. And it's just now Manchester United has become a Europa League team. Honestly, it used to hit big heights, Champions League, Premier League, but now it's just taking a step back. And so that's Manchester United in 2021. And I often tell people, hey, you know how people go to King's Dominion. All these, you know, theme parks, Disney World, Disneyland, whatever. I tell them my favorite roller coaster ride is Manchester United.
They give me such, and I mean, at least with Manchester United, they were winners, or they were like champions at one point in time. Like the Vikings are not winners. They get you to the point, they always let you down. They're like an accident waiting to happen. And I don't know if you follow the NFL, if you follow the Vikings, if you ever watched that team. Actually, there's a lot of folks from DC that I met that are actually. They became Vikings fans. It's weird. Because obviously me, like I've been to London before. I have family in London. I've met people that are like, they're diehard Arsenal fans. Like they just, I feel like that's the most popular team for all the Eritreans like in London. Like they all love, I see all of them in Arsenal jersey. Like I went to London one time. I went by, was it Tottenham? Tottenham.
The big Their rivals.
Stadium was beautiful. I'm like, man, these people is like, soccer, if their favorite team's on, it's like nobody else matters but their team, you know? So it's like, it's crazy the fandom of soccer. Like, I would think like we had diehard fans, like with you know, watching football, but like soccer fans or football fans are just, they're on another level, just another level of fandom. I never seen no crazy, like they're the real definition of fanatics. And like, I've heard people getting fights and like real fist fights, and you know, it's just, that's just crazy to me.
Yeah, bro. 100%. You mentioned earlier, there's a reason why, okay. You like NFL, you watch NBA, but there's a reason why you watch the World Cup, right?
Oh, I love the World Cup. I tuned in to the World Cup. It's just, I just love a player representing his country, you know, the national pride, like just, you know, it comes on every 4 years. That's like, I will literally watch a whole game of a World Cup game. Like that's like one thing I just enjoy.
Exactly. That's why, I mean, in my opinion, I hope you have the same opinion as well. Soccer is the best sport in the world.
It's the most popular sport in the world. Don't get me wrong.
Most popular. I'll take that.
Popular. I just, my thing about soccer is just, I'm a guy that's like I like seeing scoring. I like seeing offense, you know, like that's just like, especially that's why I like the NFL draws to me, or NBA. Like soccer, like you can go watch a whole 90-minute game, see one goal. And I'm like, man, I need to, you know, I like to see but I do like the strategy that goes in with soccer, you know, the whole tactical part, the strategic part, and how you can move a ball with just your feet, not using your hands and your head, you know, and like get it through a net. I think that's very impressive. And that's one thing I admire about soccer. It takes true skill to run up and down a field. Just using your feet and not using your hands.
Big time. We'll agree to disagree. How about that?
We'll agree to disagree. Like, other than soccer, any other sports you like to like watch on your leisure time or like have opinions on?
Yeah. So if I move a little bit to my right, I got a Isaiah Thomas jersey.
Oh, okay. You a Celtics fan?
Yes, sir.
Or are you an Isaiah Thomas fan?
Yes, sir. I'm a Celtics fan, but I got a quick story about Isaiah Thomas as well. Mm-hmm. So, we came to the States back in 06. And so we love soccer, but in terms of NBA, we didn't really pick on to it until 2013. And that's because mm-hmm. we played a lot of 2K, my brothers and I. And so, you know, we played 2K, we loved it. And it was like, you know what, man, we got to pick a team. And one thing for sure, we were not picking the Wizards because the Wizards suck, you know, even though we're from the DMV.
They had a little run. They was decent in the, like I said, you're younger, so they had a little run with Gilbert Arenas. They were decent. You know, they were a competitive basketball team.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Even after that with John Wall and Bradley Beal as well. But yeah, you know what? It was time to pick a team. And at first, I was a LeBron fan. You know, I liked mm-hmm. LeBron. He had the Cavs on his back every single year. It was LeBron or die. And so I respected him for it. But then he went to Miami. And I'm like, you know what? I don't know. I don't think I'm going to join that Miami Heat bandwagon.
I can admire someone not following the bandwagon. That's a true fan.
Exactly. And so, you know what? I told myself, you're not going to be a Miami Heat fan because you see a lot of these bandwagons. Now, if you're a true Miami Heat fan, I respect you for that. But if you're going for LeBron, then I got to pick a team. And so, quick story short, I picked the Boston Celtics because they had, you know, the big three going on. They had Rondo, they had Garnett, Pierce, Ray Allen, even Kendrick Perkins. And so, you know what? I like what they were doing. So I decided to, you know, follow them for a little bit, but then something happened and they kind of digressed and so did my kind of support. But then this guy right here, Isaiah Thomas, he stepped in big time. I remember that one year, his sister unfortunately passed away. He was dealing with a lot of pain. And so a couple of days later, you know, he really used that as a motivation to just drop 53 points on the Wizards, put the team on his back, and he was a true leader. And I respected him for that. And I like to thank Isaiah Thomas because he brought back the love that I have for the Celtics. And so that's why when it's time to pick a jersey, I decided to get this one.
I think the Celtics did him dirty, by the way. Like they just how he put it, and like they just traded him and just like devalued him. I think that was wrong what they did to him, my opinion. So, tell me your favorite soccer player or football. We're going to say football because you're showing football. Who is your favorite player and compare that player to like a player in another sport in your. So I can comprehend it better.
Got you. Okay. I'm going to give you a simple, easy NBA analogy. One of my favorite players growing up was Cristiano Ronaldo, you know, mm-hmm. being a Manchester United fan. And if you're going to translate that to the NBA, simple, LeBron James. They're both, you know, I think they're both 35 years old. They're both still doing big things at such a old age in terms of sports, taking care of their bodies, doing the right things, still winning championships, still leading their teams. And so, I respect them because it's been over 15 years since they've been in both their leagues, and they really dominated both their sports. So LeBron James is to soccer or is to basketball what Cristiano Ronaldo is to soccer.
I say that's perfect because what I know about Cristiano Ronaldo, like it's star power. Like they dominate the headlines. You know, when those guys are on, that's the only thing you're watching. And they also had similar upbringings in which they were both, you know, raised by their moms, you know, and, you know, they grew up poor. So that's actually a great comparison now you think about it. Because I heard a little bit about his story about how he grew up with his mom and like her mom would give up her food as long as he wasn't hungry. And so like he dedicated his whole like childhood to make sure that they got out of an impoverished environment. So that's actually, I would say that's a good comparison that I could comprehend.
And they're
still 35 playing at a high level, arguably the best player in all of football globally. I think he's the most popular athlete even on Instagram, right? I think he's got the most followers.
I think so. I think he's number one, if I'm not mistaken.
I know you're biased. You're going to say Cristiano Ronaldo, but I get a lot of chatter with people that say Lionel Messi is better than Cristiano Ronaldo. You please tell me why you think Cristiano Ronaldo is better than Lionel Messi.
I'm gonna do
that. That man can move his. I watched them last week. That ball don't leave his feet. Like, you can't take it from him. It's almost like glue. I'm like, man, this guy, you can't get the ball away from him.
Yeah, I'm gonna do you one better. I used to think that Lionel Messi was actually better than Cristiano Ronaldo. But like I said, we are in 2021 now, and I think we should appreciate both of them because they're getting at a stage where they're gonna retire pretty soon. And if you had to tell me pick one, I would tell you Lionel Messi, only because with Ronaldo, I feel like he had to work for everything. He had to work because starting out, you know, Manchester United, he was a scrawny kid who was very talented but very raw at the same time. And so with hard work, with perseverance, and like I said, doing the right things on and off the field, he got to be who he is today. But Lionel Messi, it's like you would think he's been doing it ever since he was like 2-3 years old. It's just natural, God-given gift. Exactly. And so just watching all that, you know, some haters would say, oh, well, Barca gave him growth hormones in order for him to develop. But I think even without the growth hormones, man, he's just natural ability. You can tell if someone has worked for their craft or someone just naturally has it. And so that's why I'll go with Messi.
I think what I'll give Cristiano Ronaldo, how I differentiate the two, at least with Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo, I think when it comes to crunch time, I just think Cristiano Ronaldo is just more clutch than Lionel Messi. I think when you need a goal, Cristiano Ronaldo is going to deliver. Like, even like, I think one game they were playing, was it the last World Cup or maybe the World Cup before, they were playing the United States. They were down. Cristiano Ronaldo had a free kick. Bang, made it. Goal, clutch kicks in the European Cup for Real Madrid. So I just think, you know, it's crunch time. You need a goal. You know you need somebody. I would side with Cristiano Ronaldo over Lionel. Because Lionel Messi, I just feel like he's great now, but he kind of comes up short in, you know, the crunch time.
Yeah, that's true. Leadership, I'll give it to Ronaldo. Leadership and clutch factor.
Because that man can carry, like, he carries everybody. And I don't think there's any other player, like, that played for Portugal that's of equal. Because I know this, because I know Lionel's for Argentina. They got some stars, though, in Argentina. It's like, he's not the only guy.
Yeah, but with Messi, nobody's going to take his spot. So you got to work
around him. Obviously, yeah. But that's the thing. It's not like he's playing with scrubs. Like, I feel like Argentina's more talented. Or Barcelona is more talented than any team Ronaldo plays, whether it's Real Madrid or Portugal. You know, I just feel like he's got more talent around him. So the game can kind of be easier. I think that's why I would like to differentiate the two. I'm not going to say who I think is better because that's not fair, especially for someone like me to make such an opinion.
I feel you.
I would say they're equal because they're two greats. You can't, you know. But from a couple stars that are kind of coming and another rising star. But give me your thoughts on our brother Alexander Isak, because I think that man's gonna be the next thing. I hope. Message me being biased. What do you think of him?
Yes, sir. Alex Isak, I'm very proud to see another, like you said, another Habesha player doing his thing in the big leagues. Yeah, I mean, he chose Sweden. I think, you know what, you understand his decision because we don't really have a national team. And so
I think he's born and raised in Sweden too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, he's been doing his thing. He made his name in the Swedish league, and then he went to Borussia Dortmund in Germany. Obviously, you know, things didn't work out there, but he's found himself again in Spain with Real Sociedad. So shout out Alexander Isak, man. And you know, before Alexander Isak, there was Heno Goitom.
And so I heard about him too. People used to talk about it, but I didn't know too much about him.
Yes,
yeah, that nice.
Yeah, he was nice. Listen, Heno Goitom was probably the best player Eritrea has ever had, and he even played a little bit in the MLS too with San Jose. Mm-hmm. And so he was here for a bit. But I think Isak can just be the GOAT, honestly, in terms of Eritrean football.
I think because I was watching. I mean, I know they got scrubbed by Barcelona. The other couple, I think they got scrubbed. But just the way that they focused their defense on him. Like, they literally, like, every time he touched the ball, like, he would get, you know, three guys trying to attack him. I just honestly think, eventually one of these big teams are going to come grab him. And who would you think would be the perfect fit for him? Like, if he was to go to a big market team with expectations, what do you think take your bias out of it?
That's a really good question. You see, one advantage he has is that most strikers nowadays are, I guess, small in stature, in a sense that striker position isn't as big as used to be in the past. And so I feel like since he has the build, he has the talent, and both the ability to score goals on the ground and on the air with his heading ability, I think he could be a good fit for, I would say a team like maybe Arsenal, honestly. A team like Arsenal could definitely use him up top. Now,
ooh, you know, all the ball, everybody, all them people would love that. Ooh, you don't give them false hope. Ah, you gonna uplift all the whole Arsenal fan base. But yeah, I would like to see him play for like a Chelsea, Arsenal, Manchester United, Manchester City. I would love to see him in that market. I just feel like that's the most popular league in all of football. I just think that's the most popular league, the Premier League. So that'd be nice. But I think the difference with the Spanish league, it's more of a tactical. They like to score goals. Well, the Premier League is rugged. Like, it's rough. Yeah, like, they're out there trying to beat each other up.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the thing. I tell people, it's like, if you want to watch soccer that's pleasing, pleasing to the eye, that you're going to love, watch Spanish, watch La Liga. But if you want to watch, like, grown men fight, then you got to watch England, you got to watch Italy, you got to watch Scotland, all these leagues that it's just about brute force and strength.
Yeah, that's what I might have to start, talking. I might have to start watching a little bit more soccer and see what the craze is about, because it was never a sport that latched on to me growing up. Like, it just was never a sport. Like, but I love me some FIFA, though. I'll play FIFA all night.
I'd crush you. 100%.
Oh, you probably would. I ain't that good. I used to be nice. Let me get the rust off, and then you can come see me on a PS5.
I got a PC, but I think you can hook it up.
Okay, you might have to see me. Let me dust off the cobwebs. But give us like a quick rundown on your Raw Football Talk. You just, how do people can check you out? What platforms are you available on? Tell everybody out there.
Yeah, man. If you guys want to keep up with Raw Football Talk, we are on YouTube. We live on YouTube. That's our main platform. But lately we are on Spotify as well. We have this series called Sports Stories, which I'm actually going to hop on in a little bit as well, and do my latest sports story. But we talk a lot about football, Premier League, La Liga. We try to cover all that. But recently, what I've just been noticing is that in order to kind of give back, because we have a platform, and so I want to give back our platform to any friends or loved ones that I have that want to hop on and talk about their sports stories, because that's one thing about sports, it's like it unites people from all walks of life. And so I got sports stories with a good friend of mine who's also a Manchester United fan, and actually got to meet players like Pogba, got to meet Wayne Rooney, got to meet Mourinho. And so I decided to have him on and tell his story. I got a friend who is in California right now, but he makes music and he's a Liverpool fan, and we butt heads sometimes. But mm-hmm. We have a bond through soccer, and he's a Celtics fan as well. So I decided to have him on. And so, yeah, please do. Please check us out at Raw Football Talk. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. We are on Anchor. And so like Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you get your podcasts. And we were on TikTok. But
on TikTok too?
We were. We have like a couple bits and pieces that you can check out as well.
Okay. So everybody check out at Raw Football Talk. Quick, so Instagram. Go ahead, give the listeners Instagram,
Twitter, Anchor, like Spotify, Apple Music, and TikTok.
All right, for all my soccer fans, give my brother Bakar a check out. Quick, what's your famous MLS team?
Favorite MLS team, DC United, hometown team.
Okay, DC United, Minnesota United, just because I'm biased and I'm from Minnesota. All right, that's our time for today. I appreciate my brother Bakar for hopping on, giving me a little deep dive into his world of football. Obviously, that's another world of football, the real football. Obviously, you can stream BN Technical on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor app. Also, follow me on Twitter, Just Being Aaron, as well as Instagram. Appreciate your time, Bakar. As always, we'll do this next time whenever you're free. Hopefully, I can watch some soccer and then come back to you and we can have a little debate.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me, brother.
All right. It's our time, y'all. We out.
He didn't say a word. Technical foul, Wallace. He's gone.
Devil too close to me. Devil too close to me. I see my enemies turn friendly and get close to me. I seen a movement from a distance. They approach me. I don't trust nobody. The burner make them toast to me. Used to get blessings from my grandma before I leave out for my day. She the reason that I'm here. No, any day could be my day. Countless nights had situations that ain't almost go my way. I'm still standing by my mission. I'ma do this shit my way. Remember laying on my deathbed. I couldn't speak. My body bleeding. I was restless. They stuffed them tubes down through my throat cause I was breathless. My mama never left my side. She was my best friend. I seen the tears run out her eyes and it was endless. Ain't had no fear up in my heart. My soul was stressless. He done blessed me with a chance when I was helpless. I promised I would never lose and not forget this. Remember me said if I die today, know what I tried to say. Hitting my grandma isn't straight. That shit's a tragedy. Changes. So many people around me, but they feel like strangers. Don't get too close to me, you know I get anxious. I seen the devil, I hope God sent me some angels. We in a crisis, walk outside and feel like we at war, my block is ISIS. Turn the TV on, them bodies dropping, we can't fight this. I survived the day, but we don't treat it like it's priceless. When we at them funerals, the only time we righteous, yeah. I need blessings on me. I know many niggas want their weapons on me. I know I've been paranoid, I watch them closely. But I just heard my nigga got shot by his homie. Damn, that shit so cold to me. Can't nobody tell me nothing, my hood still got hope in me. I just want my millions, don't want nobody to notice me. No killer, but no nigga getting close to me. Said nah. If I die today, know what I tried to say. Hitting my grandma isn't straight, that shit's a tragedy. See, I'm hunting niggas down there causing casualties. This hell on earth, it ain't no place to raise a family. I pray the Lord to see, I pray my soul to keep. Say my three prayers every night before I go to sleep. I know I'm never gonna get what isn't supposed to be. But I need changes in my life, devil too close to me.